Bring them out, bring them out, bring them out, bring them out. It's hard to yell when the bat rails in your mouth. Woo!
Oh, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to salute your sports on KCOU 88.1 FM and KCOU.FM. Yeah.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another Wednesday edition of Salute Your Sports. I am Matthew Terry. Chris Mitchell is behind the board, as evidenced by another fantastically new introduction.
That's right.
I do not know how to feel about that. I am disappointed in the lack of air horn, like we saw from your last secret.
I'm sorry, I didn't know how to fit it in.
But it's okay, because I probably would have just been falling over from laughing and wouldn't have been able to start the show, which is important.
Jungle Boogie is a very sonically busy show.
Definitely.
Or not show, song.
And so for regular listeners, you'll know Chris Mitchell behind the board, not his usual spot. James Stanley once again doesn't like us and isn't in the show today.
It's almost like he has a job or something.
I know, and he's not doing this for free like we do. But anyways.
We're not alone here.
We have someone to replace James like we always do. We have KCOU freshman Wilson Truong. Welcome. Did I pronounce your name correctly? Because I forgot to ask that before the show started.
You got it right. But
awesome. Great. Welcome on.
Yeah, pleasure to be on here. Let's go.
Let's do it.
All right. Awesome. We have a lot to talk about because we've had 2 weeks without a Salute Your Sports. And no, I'm not counting the Salute Your Sports, which was just Chris and his brother live streaming Red Dead 2 under our name.
Why?
Instead of doing our Sports Saturday show because no one could get into the studio.
Yeah, we had to do an auxiliary show.
That's the most college radio thing imaginable.
Yeah. It's like, can we get into the station? Let's stream some Red Dead instead.
All right.
Vaguely talk about sports.
Perfect.
I mean, we should have like a spinoff of Chris Mitchell just doing fucking Red Dead. Like, Salute Your Sports, Red Dead with Chris Mitchell.
Yep.
We're just talking about sports.
Yeah. Anyways.
We're not going to run that, probably.
Oh, yeah, not at all. No.
It's not going to make it past the program director. I'm not sure. I'm going to have to play some sort of sports game if I want to get that passed.
Just do it on KCOU Sports.
That's right.
Our C-Stream.
Ooh,
because
true.
I'm in charge of that, and I don't care what you do.
Thank you.
So go for it.
No, we should play some NHL Madden, something like that.
Oh. Yeah.
We'll definitely talk to the other contributors here at KCOU, see how they're feeling about that. And, of course, reaching out to our loyal listeners, see if that's something that they would be interested in listening to, a bunch of college kids playing video games, because who doesn't want to hear that? But
I certainly do.
Mizzou football has had a busy 2 weeks. Mizzou athletics in general has had a busy 2 weeks since we were last on the airwaves. In the two games since we were on last Wednesday when we had our Barry Odom beat a ranked team party.
That's right.
And really just that entire mess of an episode with me, James, and Chris. Mizzou played two football games on the road at Tennessee and Arkansas at home in the Battle Line rivalry back on Friday. And Mizzou won those games by a combined 88-17.
Yeah, that was very much looking like one of those scores you see at like the beginning of the season when Mizzou's playing like their cupcake games against like Mountain West opponents or like FCS opponents. So it was cool to see that against like actual SEC opponents.
Yeah, it looked like what we saw from the Tigers last year.
Yeah.
When they went on their miracle keep it rolling run at the end of 2017.
Bowl eligibility. Yeah. It was one of those.
Yep. And it just begged to differ. It just made people think, what if this team had played like this in the middle of the season?
Oh, boy.
What if they played like this against South Carolina, if this defense had showed up? What if they played like that in the second half against Kentucky? And I hate to do the what-if scenarios all over the place.
Oh, yeah, because that just leads to, like, just head beating.
It just leads to debate. But this is radio, where that's a good thing.
That's right. We debate here on radio.
So Mizzou against Tennessee and against Arkansas played phenomenal football.
Yeah.
Both times. And showed that really the key part of this offense that was missing during that stretch where they lost 4 out of 5 games in the end of September throughout October was that they were missing Emmanuel Hall.
Yeah. Emmanuel Hall is such a key aspect to this Mizzou offense. Like, even when he's, like, not catching passes, he stretches the field out, allows Drew Lock to be a little bit more relaxed, kind of, like, be able to, like, distribute the ball more often while having, like, defenders having to keep Emmanuel Hall in check.
I mean, I feel like for Emmanuel Hall, he's their Larry Fitzgerald. When you need passes, when you need yards, he's your go-to guy. Obviously, Emmanuel had to deal with with family issues, personal issues aside, injuries. We're not going to blame him on any of those. It's just, I feel like, for me, the loss of Emmanuel Hall was big because no respect to Jonathan Johnson or any of the wide receivers personally, but Emmanuel Hall is a much better wide receiver than any of them are.
Oh, yeah, he's like that deep threat workhorse.
Yeah, definitely. Emmanuel Hall was Drew Lock's safety blanket throughout the year, especially during last year. We saw how the offense came alive when Emmanuel Hall was thrust into the starting role ahead of Demetrius Mason at the end of last year, where Mason got kicked off the team, and that's what led Mizzou's offense to waking up. And to see Hall go away for part of the season and just happening to coincide with Mizzou's worst stretch of football of the entire year makes you realize exactly why that happened. But Hall was back for the last two games. Mizzou did see some other key contributors step up in these last two, especially against Arkansas, with Demaria Crockett out. Larry Rountree had another amazing day. Had another great day against Tennessee, too. These running backs are still really good. They should return all three next year. I don't believe Crockett will be going early to the draft for any reason.
I don't think so either. I haven't heard anything.
Yeah. Rountree will be going into his third year. Beatty will be going into his second. This running back core is still going to be really good.
Yeah, because I think with Crockett and the other receivers, you have a 1A, 1B, 1C in case, like, you have Beatty as your third down back. You can have any of those as your third down back. You have Rountree and Crockett to get the yardage in case. And you have either of them to be your pass, get some passes in case some of that happens. I feel like that for them, having all three back will be huge. Because we haven't seen a running back of this magnitude since probably Henry Josie in a while, honestly.
Ooh, that's a name.
Still a good name for Mizzou fans.
Yeah,
definitely.
Friend of the show. Is he? Probably.
I don't know.
He probably listens.
Everyone's a friend of the show, Chris.
That's right.
We salute your sports. We're friends with everyone.
That's right. Hey, man.
Exactly. Friend of the show, Henry Josie. But anyways.
Hey, Josie, let's do some lunch, all of us. We'll talk about the old times.
The old times before I was even affiliated with this university at all.
That's right. That's when I was on my Heisman campaign.
That was when I was getting ready for an 8th grade test.
That's right.
Combo champs, baby.
Dating all of us right here.
Do you want to talk about the defense a little bit against Arkansas?
Yeah, I was going to talk about that because the defense shut out Arkansas. This defense shut somebody out. I didn't think I'd say that at all this year.
Can I play some music for that?
Go for it.
Cool.
All right. Did you have something ready?
What?
D-Line 2 is back, baby. Woo!
Oh, my God.
We did it. We made it.
I really wish you would tell
Jordan
me.
Jordan Elliott had, like, 3 sacks, I think. Yes, 3. Like, 5 tackles.
I really wish sometimes you would tell me about the things you do before you do them.
I really want to know what a day in the life of Chris Mitchell is. I really want to know.
It's long. I'm tired. I'm very tired.
Oh, my God.
Anyways. But, yes, Mizzou shutting out Arkansas, winning that game 38-0 on Black Friday. And there's one person on this defense that stood out to me over the last part of the year that I think could have a big 2019, and that's DeMarcus Acy.
Yeah.
He's someone that has grown a lot in the past year and has stepped up and shown that he can be Mizzou's number one corner next year.
Yeah, he had himself a couple of tackles, I believe, and one broken up pass? I think that's what it says. Yeah. He was very dominant, like, guarding. Who's he guarding? Who was the wide receiver?
For Arkansas?
Yeah.
I have no idea. No. All right.
Yeah.
Guarding
whoever was. Yeah. Whoever that was. Shout out to him. But, you weren't getting anything on AC easily.
Yeah, definitely. And AC will get beat occasionally because no cornerback is perfect.
That's right.
Yeah. But AC's played really well throughout this year. He had a couple key interceptions. Against Tennessee, he had that big interception that set Mizzou up at the end of the first half.
That's right.
To score again. And I think he can be someone that can blossom into a real difference maker in the secondary next year. That's something that Mizzou hasn't had in a while.
Yeah, I think so, too, especially versus, like, last year where it's, like, you could clearly see, like, yeah, like, it's still a big hole in Mizzou's defense, that secondary, but seeing AC progress from, like, the start of the season to, like, towards, like, the middle of the season and then, like, onwards and forwards, a lot of good times from Mr. AC.
Definitely. And also, the defense will be losing Terry Beckner Jr. because he will be graduating. But the defensive line still is returning a lot of talent.
That's right.
Jordan Elliott's coming back. Trey Williams is coming back. I believe Chris Turner's coming back as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that, plus, I believe Paul Moore is a senior, but there's someone that I'm forgetting. Kobe Whiteside, I believe.
I think so.
I might just be throwing out names of players that I know on the team. But that I know are on the team, rather. But this defensive line should still be really good next year because they're not losing too much. They're returning 6 defensive starters. It's right. going to be massive. This Mizzou team, going into next year, as this regular season comes to a close and we all wait for Mizzou's bowl game to be announced, looking at the team next year, there might not be much of a drop-off, if any.
Outside of, like, of course, the quarterback position.
Yeah, the obvious drop-off of Drew Lock not coming back is going to be very hard to replace.
I
guess it depends on who takes his place.
Yeah, if it's a certain Clemson transfer quarterback, then maybe the drop-off won't be as harsh.
It might be, like, lateral movement.
We won't see until next week.
That's true. I just took a look at that. People are talking about, things are happening, like, early December. Early December's next week.
Yeah, well, next show we'll be able to talk about whether or not Kelly Bryant's coming to Mizzou.
All right.
Yeah.
This decision was announced to be December 4th, so it'll be fresh in the minds of everyone.
All right. I'm going to have a according soundbite ready.
Yeah. Oh, good.
Okay, but back to Mizzou defense. But I
Go
think,
on.
Yeah, let's talk more about
I think we haven't talked about a little bit about Terrez Hall. Because I think he was the backbone of that team. Like, he was their leader. And when every time I see him play, it reminds me a little bit of Telvin Smith on Jacksonville a little bit.
Ooh.
A hard hitter, a backbone, a guy who can play a little bit of a little bit of zone defense, a little bit of man. And also, he's your tackler, leaving tackler.
He can just get everywhere.
I think his loss will be big. I don't personally see him as a high draft pick. I see him probably like a maybe 5th to 7th draft pick. But if he can level up potential, I think he can do a good job in the NFL. But they need to find someone who can beat their leading tackler, their Terrez Hall, next year.
Yeah, the loss of Terrez Hall, and I believe they're also losing Cale Garrett as well, if I'm not mistaken.
I think he's a senior, yeah.
Is going to be tough
mm-hmm.
for a linebacking core that I always looked at it like all these players are good. Like all three, the three starting linebackers between Hall, Garrett, and Lee, all are good, but they just don't play well together. I felt
that's a very weird thing
because I couldn't look at the Mizzou front seven and point to an obvious weak point, but it was clear that one was there. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yeah, no, I know what you mean.
So
some of it's
maybe
parts
that
and all
will
that.
Change.
You know,
maybe that will change.
You know who they are also losing?
I'm sorry, Cale Garrett is a junior this year. He'll be
okay. That's good.
Wait, but
maybe I should have prepared for this.
Do you know who the biggest loss will be?
Who?
Corey Fatone, baby.
Of course.
Oh, right. Oh, my God. I forgot.
That's going to be a hard one for Mizzou fans. But that's going to be a hard pill to swallow.
But good news for Fatone is he's likely the best punter in the NFL draft heading to next year a little bit.
Ooh.
Potentially.
I can't quantify that, but as far as punters I've seen from Mizzou.
I'm not up to date on my punter knowledge.
Me either. I should be.
I mean, but good news for Mizzou, they have a dude next year named Josh Dodge. He probably going to take most of the snaps next year, so.
Okay.
All right, always looking for in-depth punter analysis here.
That's right.
Let's look at your sports.
Corey Fatone is definitely the best punter that punts for Mizzou in this draft right now.
Thank you, Chris.
You're welcome.
Remember signs for Fatone for Heisman a couple of the football games?
Let's do it.
Now, throwback to this is my senior year, so 2015 would be my freshman year, 2017 my junior year, at the beginning of those years, when Corey Fatone was the most beloved player on the team. Because right. he was the only bright spot for a lot of that portion.
Yeah.
So, he will be gone. But he's got one more game left.
Good night, Tweet Prince.
All these Tigers have one more game left.
Yeah, that's right.
But,
and that's a ball game we don't know where they're going, but we have an idea.
We do have an idea.
We have general idea. So,
we think they narrowed it down to somewhere in Tennessee.
I've got three bowls that I've heard thrown out a lot. One of them being the Gator Bowl, which is looking less and less likely.
Yeah.
The Gator Bowl would be in Tallahassee, Jacksonville?
Yeah, somewhere? Jacksonville.
Yeah. Okay. All right. We'll be in Jacksonville. And then the other two bowls will be either the Liberty Bowl in Memphis or the Music City Bowl in Nashville.
Ooh.
And it came out today that it's looking more likely like one of those two Tennessee games will be the bowl game for Mizzou.
Okay.
If that were to happen, the Liberty Bowl would be, it's usually a Big 12 team against an SEC team.
That's right.
Is that right?
Maybe.
Because I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. I know the Music City Bowl is an SEC team versus an ACC team. That one I know for sure.
Ooh.
And so I've seen names thrown around like North Carolina State, Duke, Virginia, Pitt, something like that.
Oh,
yeah.
Pitt would be a scary one.
I think the best fit, if they would go to the Music City Bowl, I think the best for them would be North Carolina State for one person only, Ryan Finley.
Ryan Finley, yeah.
Because when you have Drew Lock and Ryan Finley both in the same game, what does that mean?
Points.
A buttload of NFL scouts are coming to the game to see who they want.
Another one that I have heard, one that was thrown out there, which would be, this would be the Liberty Bowl because the Liberty Bowl is Big 12 versus the SEC, would be Mizzou, West Virginia. Now, if you like points, put Will Greer and Drew Lock on the same field, you will get points.
More points for the point god, I tell you.
And they want get West Virginia?
It'd be
almost
Mizzou,
no
West
defense whatsoever. No.
It'd be a preview of Mizzou's first home game next year when West Virginia comes
down. Oh, wow. They're coming here.
Wow.
Oh, dear.
It'd be a rematch of the 2016 season opener when Mizzou went to Morgantown.
That's right. We challenged Dana Holgorsen for his visor. If we win, we take it. He has to replace his hat.
The West Virginia team?
He has to get an actual hat.
West Virginia team next year is not going to be good.
No, but the West Virginia teams back in the day, Tavon Austin, Geno Smith. Oh, God.
What's that running back's name? I am blanking on his name. Slater.
Friend of the show.
Steve Slater.
Geno Smith.
Steve Slater,
the running back. So fun. Pat White. Shout out to that 2007 West Virginia team.
Shout out to every 2007 team.
Except for Kansas, obviously.
Except for, yeah.
Obviously.
That goes without saying, though.
Yep. I'm sorry, James isn't here, so someone needs to throw shots at Kansas.
That's right. I'll do it.
All right.
I live, like, right there.
That's true. I live nowhere near Kansas.
I could throw rocks at him if I wanted to. I won't, actually, though.
Please do. We don't condone it, but I understand.
I'm not saying you should do it, but, yeah. Anyways.
So, yeah. If there was a bowl game, like, we've already thrown out some preferred matchups. What would be, you two guys, your preferred matchup in a bowl game for Mizzou?
I think for me, I would have to go Mizzou versus Michigan State in the Taxler's Gator Bowl because Michigan State, they have a pretty good defense, but their offense, I mean,
yeah.
Let's be honest. I mean, this would be Drew Lock's, this outside of Alabama and Georgia, this would probably be the best defense Drew Lock has seen this
Kentucky's
season.
Defense is really good.
Oh, Kentucky was
pretty
really good. Yeah.
It's pretty good.
It was pretty good.
Kentucky's defense probably better than both of those teams.
Yeah, but with a big name like Michigan State, with D'Antoni, when you have a name of D'Antoni, that's going to be a lot. There's going to be a lot of money sparkling around from that game. It'd be great for both Mizzou and Drew Lock and everyone involved.
See, I'm not super big on Michigan State ever since they lost to Arizona State. I'm sorry. The 7-4 Arizona State Sun Devils, the bowl-eligible Sun Devils. Shout out to you, Herm Edwards.
Go Herm Edwards.
Friend of the show, Herm Edwards.
I mean, what's the problem with hiring 60-year-old CEO coaches nowadays?
Honestly,
we'll
get
into that later.
Yeah, we'll as soon as I saw that news the other day, I knew that airing of grievances was going to be so good. Anyway.
Yeah, airing of grievances tonight, if you don't know what's going, like what Chris and I are vaguely referring to, then, you'll know by the end of the day what happened.
I really want to know.
I have some things to say.
I really want to know.
But anyway.
Anyways, I'm sorry, Chris.
My Michigan State stock is pretty low, actually. I just don't think they're just not that good of a team this year. I know they're, like, weird. Michigan State's always weird, but this time they're just, like, not that good. But my choice is going to stay inside of the Big Ten, actually. I want to see Mizzou play the University of Iowa. I think that would be a very interesting matchup, not just because I know a few people that go to the University of Iowa, but it'd be fun to clown them if Mizzou won. I just think it would be a very, because those teams are pretty similar in, like, makeup. Like, both of their defenses are kind of suspect, but they could be stout when they want to. They both got quarterbacks with cannons for arms. They got dynamic-ish offensive weapons. I know Iowa's got a pretty solid like running back and Sargent, I think that's his last name, something Sargent. Anyway, shout out to him and their tight end Noah Fant. So it's not like they are pressed for scoring points. So if you want like a high scoring game, I'd go for something like Mizzou, Iowa, and I guess like the Gator Bowl, or maybe something like the Outback Bowl.
Personally, also for similar reasons as to Chris, as to because I know a lot of people that go to this school, I want to see Mizzou face Wisconsin.
Ooh, yeah.
Because that would be a clash of styles unbeknownst to man. Alex Hornibrook versus Drew Locke of Jonathan Taylor versus that Mizzou defensive line, which is actually good. It would be a fun matchup. Plus, I went to high school in Wisconsin, so naturally I know a lot of people that go to Madison, and I would just love to laugh if Mizzou managed to win that game. So, and that's my top priority. That, or if they face North Carolina State, because that's like the entire mom's side of my family's North Carolina State fans. And even though that would be a very stressful game for me personally, I think Mizzou beating either of those teams would just be perfect.
That would be pretty good.
On another team I would love to see Mizzou face, Duke, because of Daniel Jones.
That'd be even more stressful for me than NC State.
Oh, yeah.
Because personally for
President Duke hater, Matthew Terry.
Because Daniel Jones, I feel like he's the best quarterback heading into the draft. It's not Drew Locke. I feel like Daniel Jones is good. Ooh. I mean, he has the height. He has the arm strength. He has everything. And on upside, he has David Cutcliffe as his head coach. Who did David Cutcliffe create? Eli Manning, Peyton Manning, and accidentally he created Todd Helton for the Colorado Rockies, the future Colorado Rocky Hall of Famer, and a decent center fielder named Seth Smith, who played for the Oakland A's.
That's right.
Definitely.
A renaissance man, Mr. Cutcliffe is, even though they got blown out, all the way out, by Wake Forest.
All right, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, Mizzou men's basketball sadly played yesterday. We're going to talk about that, talk about what happened in the Paradise Jam tournament and what's been going on with the women's basketball team. But first, basketball. No, sorry, wrong thing. Sports Saturday. That one's the one I meant to read. Sports Saturday. Don't forget, every Saturday this fall is a KCOU Sports Saturday. Listen to your favorite KCOU sports show every Saturday all day long. Catch No Huddle, Breaking the Plane, Mizzou Football, Not Anymore Basketball, and more. Every Saturday, it's not just Saturday, it's KCOU Sports Saturday. This is Salute Your Sports. Stay tuned. We've got more content and nonsense coming up on the other side of this break, folks. Don't go away.
From Coppedge to break the plane of the pylon.
I'm Corbett Koslak.
And I'm Daniel Virag.
Breaking the Plane is back for a second season. All the analysis and in-depth looks at the NFL, NCAA, and football from across the country.
58! Blue 58! Go!
Breaking the Plane, Saturday mornings, 11 to noon, all throughout football season on KCOU 88.1 FM and online at KCOU.FM.
Hey, Joey. I got some stuff you just gotta try.
What is it?
Pot.
You know, marijuana.
Oh, well, I don't know.
What, chicken?
Joey's in a jam. What should he do?
Cake.
Get a pizza.
Excellent. Get a pizza.
Get real.
Chicken.
You got it. Let's see if Joey's that smart.
I'm not chicken. You're a turkey.
He's right. Drug dealers are dorks. Don't even talk to him.
Cowabunga!
Ball don't lie. Straight up, give it to us.
Ball don't lie, and neither do we. Catch Ball Don't Lie every Friday from 8 to 9 a.m. on KCOU 88.1 with me, Anthony Dean,
Derek McKinney,
and Connor McKinn.
Wallace picks up two quick tackles.
Ball don't lie.
That ball don't lie.
As a veteran of Iraq or Afghanistan, joining IAVA.org really helps. It's a network of vets like me. Whether navigating the GI Bill or managing the transition home, we've got your back. Join our community at IAVA.org.
Brought to you by Iraq-Afghanistan Veterans of America and the Ad Council.
16 semesters and 8 years ago, our forefathers brought upon KCOU a new sports talk show, Salute Your Sports. Join me, Chris Mitchell, along with James Stanley and Matthew Terry every Wednesday afternoon from 4 to 5 on KCOU 88.1 FM Columbia and online at kcou.fm. You can check us out on Twitter as well at KCOU Salute. Salute Your Sports is the only Mizzou-centered sports talk show on the KCOU airwaves. Don't miss out on the action.
Missouri Tigers football and men's and women's basketball on KCOU 88.1 FM and KCOU Sports is brought to you by El Rancho. Located at 1014 East Broadway, El Rancho provides themselves in serving up fresh and authentic Mexican food. To look at their menu and learn more, go to www.columbiamomexicanfood.com. Thank you, El Rancho, for supporting KCOU 88.1 FM, the student voice of the Missouri Tigers.
Hi, I'm Josh Bohm. I had the Josh Bohm Radio Funtime program on KCOU from 2012 to 2016. I'm here to tell you to support KCOU. You'll make an old man in his 20s very happy.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back. You're listening to Salute Your Sports here on KCOU 88.1 FM. I am Matthew Terry, Chris Mitchell, Wilson Truong filling in for James Stanley. James is off doing actually productive things with his time.
Actual
and
work.
Not hosting this stupid show.
What a bum, am I right?
I know.
Wow, that's
actually has a lot, like, actually has things to do, classes to attend, actual basketball games to do play by play for.
Wow, that's a nice talk to James. Co-host. He's a co-host. Yeah. He's your friend. You should be more nice.
Hey, he's my friend whenever he sits in that seat on Wednesdays.
That's right.
When James doesn't do that, I am upset with him.
That's right.
We've only had one Salute Your Sports with all three members of the show. Like, we've only had one the last, like, month. Everyone's had to leave for some reason or another.
Yeah, it happens.
Yep, it happens. Eh. We're college kids. We're somehow busy.
The unreliable.
Things get in the way.
The unreliable college athlete reporter.
Yep. I mean, we all have our fraternities, KCOU, stuff like that.
No.
Res Life?
No, I just have... Jobs,
man. You know how it is.
Classes. I'm trying not to fail.
Let's talk about some hoops, baby.
All right. Speaking of failure, Mizzou basketball.
Yeah.
Missouri Tigers men's basketball team losing at home last night to Temple, 79-77. Oof. And there are two things that I'm going to take away from this game immediately by just looking at the score. One, how did Mizzou score 77 points? Two, how did Mizzou give up 79 points?
To Temple.
Temple's a good team. Yeah. Temple's 6-1. They've already had some quality wins. So that I'm not as upset about.
Okay.
But you're not going to win most games with this team giving up 79 points.
That is true.
I mean, as we went past the Paradise Jam, what we realized was Mizzou was going to be a really good defensive team, but they were going to struggle mightily offensively with the losses of Michael Porter Jr., Jordan Barnett, Jonte Porter.
MPJ wasn't a loss. He played one game.
He played two games in two minutes.
Two minutes of the first game.
He got a bucket and a board in his first one.
Yeah.
And we didn't see him for like 4 months.
For months.
Yeah, but heading back to Jordan Barnett, who's their Jordan Barnett this year? I mean, the closest you're going to get is probably Mark Smith, but.
Mark Smith is not as athletic as Barnett.
Nah.
Barnett was your scoring wing that could bounce out the gym.
Yeah.
And out of anyone that, it, like, your scoring wing, like, the only wing on this team is Javon Pickett.
Yeah.
And he is not Jordan Barnett.
No, he's not. He's pretty solid, actually. We can talk a little bit about that later.
I mean, Mizzou fan has high expectations for Torrance Watson heading into the next 4 years of if he wants to stay at Mizzou. But right now, he's been a little bit of a disappointment, really. He hasn't lived up to the hype yet. I mean,
that's true, but it's also been 6 games into his freshman year. So I'm going to hold off judgment on Torrance Watson right away. He's averaging 3.7 points per game, 1.5 rebounds, 0.5 assists, shooting 276 and or from the field, 263 from three. All of these numbers are terrible. There's no other way to put it.
Nope.
Terrible for someone getting 18 minutes a game.
But the upside is he's a freshman.
Yeah, exactly.
Like his first game, I'm not gonna blame him on that because it's his first game. Like he's gonna be scared. He doesn't know if he's ready or not. Like he hasn't played the college basketball atmosphere yet. Like I'm not afraid of him. I wasn't afraid of his first game. Like the Paradise Jam and the Temple game, that has me a little bit worried. Like not as worried as it should be, but worried.
If we're still getting to a round conference play and we're still talking about Torrence Watson not doing anything and needing to break out of a slump, then I'll be worried. We still have 5 home games left for the Tigers before we get to bragging rights. And then I believe 1 game after that, after bragging rights, is when SEC play starts off. The schedule looks like this as follows. UCF, UT Arlington, Oral Roberts, and Xavier all at home in the next 3 weeks. Then they go to St. Louis for bragging rights. They host Morehead State, and then conference play kicks off with Mizzou hosting Tennessee.
STL, baby, my hometown.
Hey.
6th-ranked Tennessee coming to Mizzou Arena. Terrifying.
I'm just going to.
For lack of a better term. But the first thing I do want to talk about, the one person on this Mizzou team that has stood out over the past 6 games has been Mark Smith.
Oh, yeah.
And it's clear he's been the best player on this Mizzou team. He's averaging the most points. He's averaging 12.8 points per game. 6.0 rebounds a game, shooting 5-16 from the field, which leads the SEC. Or from the three-point, rather, which leads the SEC. And 5-10 from the field. Leading Mizzou in pretty much every category you can. Which is good. And right behind him in points per game is Jordan Geist with 12.5. Somehow.
Geisty, that's right. He's kind of started out slow, I think. Everyone started out
back
slow.
Back-to-back 20-point games.
Yeah.
At the Paradise Gym.
I mean, in the first game. I mean, everyone started out slow, but then he started to pick it up a little bit. Then he started to be, one of, the top 3 scorers for Mizzou. And it's really a good sign to see guys sort of, getting that. I think he had, 11 last night, shooting 3-for-5 from behind the arc.
Yeah. It's good to see guys playing like this. But at the same time, I've noticed that the offense stalls when he's not on the floor. Which is weird to say.
Yeah.
Because Jordan Geist does kind of facilitate that. And for 35 minutes of the game, you really want to see Jordan Geist on the floor because that's when the offense moves.
Uh-huh.
For the last 5 minutes of the game, kind of don't want to see him there because he's very prone to turnovers.
And let me go.
Who isn't on this team?
Okay. That's fair. Mizzou averages 15 turnovers a game while getting 11 assists per game.
And
that is a losing strategy.
But with Jordan Geist, he has everything. The ball movement, the defense. The only problem is he can't shoot.
Not many on this team can shoot. But there's just a few things that have stood out for the Tigers for me so far this year. In that there's still some leftover problems from last year. One of the big problems that I noticed and that a lot of fans have noticed is that Mizzou cannot handle a full court press. That was an issue last year. It cost them a lot of games down the stretch. It was an issue last night. Temple started pressing Mizzou with about 5 minutes left, and Mizzou crumbled. Every time the Tigers would get close to tying the game up, because Temple led throughout almost that entire second half, every time the Tigers got close, Temple would press, Mizzou would turn the ball over, and Temple would jump right back out to a 7-point lead. And I don't know if it's the coaching or the players. It's probably both. I don't know who's more to blame, but someone's to blame for it. Someone has to be.
I think
how can you not handle the press?
I think the blame has to go to everyone because the coach, you're supposed to know what to do against a full court press. You're supposed to figure out a way to counteract those four court press, and also the players wise, I feel like there's not enough talent to get them to pass and then to an NCAA tournament.
No way. The way this team's playing, there's barely enough talent to get them to the NIT.
I mean, at this point, hey,
remember we were talking about how Mizzou could probably make the NIT this year?
I still have hope.
Yeah.
Because this team is still young. At least most of the key contributors, aside from Geist and Puryear, this team is still young.
Hey, anyone want to watch SLU basketball now?
No.
I'm good.
I'm good.
I'm fine, Chief.
Carly Gordon, 5-1, baby.
Ooh.
Mizzou women's have also been playing this past few days, and it's also been a struggle. The program we thought would be good.
Yeah.
I guess it's been sacrificed. Mizzou with a 7 points home loss to Wisconsin Green Bay, a 16-point loss to Michigan. They did beat SIUE and Quinnipiac in between those games. And, but Mizzou and women's team.
Did they beat Duke?
Yeah, they beat Duke.
Did?
Yeah, 62-54.
Oh, cool. Oh, yep, I missed that. Just looking at the schedule, whatever.
But still, it's like one of those things. Where
it's one of those things like you don't. This Mizzou team should be better. Like, yeah. I feel like I say that about every single Mizzou sport, that they should be better.
But for real, though.
What's shown in the last few weeks watching this team is that they live and die by Sophie Cunningham.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
They have no secondary scoring. They're so small that they're forced to play Sophie in the post where she is not. She's not that she's not good in the post. She's much better as a free roaming player.
Yeah.
I mean, and they're taking her away from that role, and it's hurting the team.
Yeah, I mean, like, I did their first game, their first preseason game of the year, and one of my biggest takeaways was one of their stars, Akilah Levi, was going to be that secondary scoring. But now, as we saw, like, she's a freshman. You're not going to blame her. But as right now, like you said, that team is Sophie Cunningham, then absolutely no one to help her. Like, they lost their two of their top three shooters. The next two shooters are after Sophie Cunningham to internationals play. Like, they don't have any scoring. Like, that was my biggest worry heading to this season. Like, I thought Akilah Levi, Hannah Schutz, Grace Berg, and those girls could handle it. But as of right now, I still think they can make an NCAA tournament, but it's going to be a little bit scary.
Yeah, definitely. This team still has a lot of room to grow. And one name that you didn't mention that's still been doing fairly well has been Amber Smith.
Yeah.
Amber Smith, granted, her numbers have been down from three or compared to the rest of the team, but she's still the team's second-leading scorer. The only person other than Sophie that's averaging at least 10 points a game, Amber Smith with 12.4 and Sophie with 15.4. They just need some more of that to come up because great teams can cover for star players when they're having off nights. And it seems like when Sophie's having an off night, it really hits this team hard, more so than it should.
But I think my biggest takeaway right here is, like, who's going to be your top scorer the moment Sophie Cunningham leaves for the WNBA after this season? Honestly, like, Akilah Levi, Hannah Schutz.
Aja Blackwell, baby.
That's right.
Coming in. Just one more year. If only it would have been a year earlier.
I think next year
we're going to get Blackwell and Sophie. But
I think next year will be most interesting for Mizzou women's basketball next year. It would be the most interesting, the post-Sophie Cunningham era.
Also, good news, Robin Pinchon did sign a contract extension staying in Columbia.
Yay.
To coach this women's basketball Woo-hoo. Team, which is great. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we've got something planned for the last segment. We don't have Orna, my apologies.
Yeah.
But.
Well, James would have to do it since he is the one who lost.
Oh, that's right. No, Orna's kind of fallen off since we don't have everyone here regularly.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. I like Orna.
Yep. But we're going to take a break before. Now, I'm actually going to talk about basketball and plug basketball because Missouri Tigers men's and women's basketball teams are back on KCOU all season long and on KCOU Sports from the home opener, Paradise Jam, Bragging Rights. You can hear every Mizzou men's basketball game. And you can hear every Mizzou women's home basketball game right here on KCOU and KCOU.fm. KCOU 88.1 FM. It's the student voice of the Missouri Tiger, folks. We'll be right back. Only 20 minutes left of this show. Don't go away.
The game you're about to see is the most stupid, appalling, disgusting, and disgraceful exhibition of football possibly in the history of the game.
Hi, I'm Kyle Jones.
And I'm Cole Toussaint.
Tune in to our show, KNC Sports, every Tuesday morning from 8 to 9.
We discuss all the latest and greatest scores and stories from around the world of sports.
Remember to tune in every Tuesday morning from 8 to 9, only on KCOU 88.1 FM Columbia, or online at kcou.fm. You don't want to miss it.
Well, this is absolutely ridiculous.
KCOU would like to thank Cafe Berlin for their support. Check out Cafe Berlin's delicious and diverse brunch menu at cafeberlincomo.com. Looking for a fun night out in Columbia? Check out Cafe Berlin's live music calendar on their website as well. Thank you, Cafe Berlin, for your continued support of KCOU Columbia 88.1 FM.
Happy birthday, dear Smokey.
Happy birthday, Smokey Bear. The great outdoors and everyone in it thanks you for 70 years of wildfire prevention. For safety tips, visit smokeybear.com. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state foresters, and the Ad Council.
KCOU, we're just normal enough to appreciate Drake's cultural relevance, but just weird enough to make a sweeper like this.
KCOU. KCOU.
Young people from all walks of life have volunteered to take part in a frightening experiment. They are allowing their brains to be altered. Altered to induce paranoia, heart malfunction, memory loss, even early senility. Unfortunately, this is not an experiment. It's what slowly happens to you when you keep smoking pot. No one has to alter your brain. You've already volunteered to do it to yourself.
Yo. Yo. MF Doom.
Mr. Fantastic.
Mr. Fantastic.
Villain.
What up, Nuggin?
Nothing, what's the word?
It's cracking, boy.
Same old shit, man.
Man. Rap snitches, man. Dude, this is bugged out, man. What's up, man?
She's telling me.
Look in front of their mouth. Telling anything. Anything.
Welcome back to the last 20 minutes of Salute Your Sports. I am Matthew Terry, Chris Mitchell, Wilson Truong filling in for James Stanley. We don't have much else to talk about. I do want to mention Mizzou Women's Volleyball. I forgot about this until just now. Is in the NCAA tournament once again because his volleyball program is good. They'll be facing Arizona.
Hey.
Out in Lincoln, Nebraska.
Ooh.
This Friday, we will have that game on KCOU. So the normal that game will be at 4:30. The normal show that is on during that time, Preferred Walk-Ons, done by my good friends Chase, Garrett, and Ben, will be relegated to the online stream so that we can play this volleyball goodness. And if Mizzou wins that one, then they will be playing Nebraska, most likely barring an upset. And that would be on Saturday during Sports Saturday. So just wanted to get that out there. Congrats to the Mizzou women's volleyball team for making the tournament once again. Wish them the best of luck and all success. But we have about 12 minutes left of this show.
About 12.
A dozen minutes, baby.
And so first thing I want to do before we get into what's going to be in a long and exasperated final segment is really just talk to Chris about the Twitter page, because he's been running it recently.
That's right.
If you couldn't tell by number 24 ranked Salute Your Sports, we didn't even mention that.
I was going to save the party music for that when we mentioned that Mizzou was ranked. But
yeah, Mizzou ranked basketball. But I want to ask Chris why he decides to just throw out segment ideas on the radio show, on the Twitter account, without running them by either of us.
I just thought it would be like, I don't know, I just thought it would be a fun idea to talk about like Mizzou player name related puns.
It is. And I think it'd be it's a really fun idea. But it's also really fun for me to log on to Twitter and see what we're talking about on the show tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm just out here like after puns, give me puns, please. Do you want to read the poll results from
go for it. Okay. Oh, yeah, we have a poll. That's right. We should start, we should make that part of the show.
Yeah, where we just, talk
just
about
throw out a poll. Show? Or, throw out a poll?
Yeah.
Let's do a poll, to do segments, Hey, if you want to do this segment or this segment.
What's more surprising? I will read this off and Chris will reveal the results. Was it Mizzou football not being ranked in the AP top 25? Or University of Missouri Columbia not canceling classes despite an actual blizzard?
An actual blizzard.
On Sunday nights and not canceling classes.
Objectively a blizzard.
We got blizzard.
For all you
warnings.
Northerners up there.
So, anyways, Chris. What's one?
The most surprising was Mizzou football not being ranked in the AP top 25. Because kids here are cynical about the University of Missouri's inclement weather policy.
And we care about our classes and teachers and grades, kids.
Folks?
Yep.
Come on in the class, folks.
It looks like there's probably one deciding vote when looking at this poll, because there were 89 votes, and Mizzou football not being ranked top 25 got 51%.
That's right.
So that, no matter what we do, we'll probably be very rarely be able to create a poll as split even as that.
I mean, I'm more surprised at them not canceling school fees. I wanted school canceled. Like,
I mean, they canceled the morning classes.
Yeah.
They canceled morning classes, so new. Like, I mean, a lot of classes. I mean, all my classes got canceled anyway, but for everyone else, like, who wants to walk into the snow from Hatch Hall to the Don Reynolds J School? Like, that's a long walk.
You know it sounds like you have, Wilson? Sounds like you have some grievances.
That's right.
You have some grievances that you want to air. We have a lot of time and a lot of things to complain about in these last 2 weeks. Chris, will you please hit the music, because we're about to hit 10 straight minutes of airing of grievances.
Did I just loop this?
I have no idea. Now, you're gonna hear. Play it again, that was too soft.
The tradition of Festivus begins with the airing of grievances. I got a lot of problems with you people. Now, you're gonna hear about it.
You are going to hear about it today. One more time.
With the airing of grievances. I got a lot of problems with you people. Now, you're gonna hear about it.
We're not actually airing grievances. That clip's just gonna play for 10 minutes until someone from Seinfeld sues us.
That's right. Jerry, come on the show.
Jerry.
Wrong Jerry.
Oh. Friend of the show, Jerry Seinfeld.
All right. So, the first thing we're going to air grievances about is I stall for time for Chris to get the music up.
What song do you want?
I don't know. Just play a song.
Okay.
Look for, look, as I just tell Chris what to do, just play Jesus Walks.
Okay.
Why not? In the bed music.
All right.
All right. So first, Wilson, you're aware of how this works, correct? It's a very simple concept. So basically, there's something to complain about.
You want the instrumental or the actual song?
The instrumental, please.
Okay.
Because we're still actually trying to talk.
That's right.
And then we're just going to complain for 10 minutes because we have nothing better to do. Thank you. Chris Mitchell, start it off.
Okay, my beef today is with whoever runs the Mizzou Athletics Twitter account. Having the audacity to hit the eyeball emoji at the Associated Press Twitter account talking about, hey, look who Mizzou beat. Don't you think we should be ranked? First off, that's pretty corny. For your school to be like, hey, Associated Press, please rank us. Second of all, that's taken away from our work, all right?
We're supposed to be the ones complaining.
Yeah, we're supposed to be the ones.
We're complaining about people complaining.
That's right. That's content for us, for all the youths out there, for all the fan blogs, the fan posts, fan radio shows. We're supposed to be concerned about where we're ranked in the Associated Press, all right? Not the Mizzou Athletics account. Let us do that work for you.
So mine is going to the no school days on Monday to noon. I mean, come on. Like, you're supposed to... It was snowing hard on Sunday night, and then you had to cancel to only till noon. Are you serious? If you're going to cancel school, at least give us the whole day off. Like, seriously. Who wants to walk there 15 minutes in the snow for a whole day? Like, Jesus, man, come on.
Yes, I like it. Let the anger flow through you. And speaking of anger, this was teased a lot in the past week since this news was announced. And I'm not sure that this song will be able to contain how angry I am that the North Carolina Tar Heels hired Mac Brown.
He's back, baby.
It's the return of the Mac in Chapel Hill.
Oh, I was going to play that song before you said that.
Play it. Right. I don't care because I'm not going to be listening because I'm going to be too busy yelling and being angry. For those that don't know, I'm a diehard North Carolina Tar Heels fan, first and foremost when it comes to football. It's the team I grew up cheering for. It's where my dad went to school. It's what, the one team that unites pretty much me and him. And so, when they fired their most when UNC fired their most successful coach, probably rightfully, Larry Fedora won 5 games in the last 2 years. It's been a struggle. I've complained about them on the show before. But there's so many better options. You have Seth Luttrell, who was the offensive coordinator in 2015 when North Carolina went 11-1 in the regular season, was the best UNC team I've ever seen. He's coaching in North Texas right now and lighting the world on fire. He's one of the best group of 5 coaches. You have Scott Satterfield, head coach of Appalachian State. Literally in the same state. He is down the road. And you don't even call him. You don't even reach out to him. Because you are too busy hiring a 65-year-old man that hasn't coached at the school since the year I was born.
He also has 2 national championships with Texas.
You hired a man that left North Carolina when he said he wouldn't. You hired a man that told his players, Tom Herman style, I am not leaving this school, and then took off for Austin before the bowl game.
Very Petrino-esque, actually.
North Carolina was good in the 90s under Mack Brown. That is very true. Those were some of the best UNC teams ever when UNC was a middling football program. And then when Mack Brown left, it all crashed and burned. They had repeated 2, 3, 4 win seasons, not unlike we've seen from the Heels in the past 2 years. Like I mentioned, 5 wins in the last 2 years. But the solution is not Mack Brown. Now, I'm going to say this might not all turn out horribly if they hire the right coordinators, because Mack Brown probably doesn't know how to run a modern style offense in college, considering he's been out of coaching for 5 years. And if you ask Texas fans, he didn't know how to coach during his last 5 years while wearing burnt orange. So.
One good salt, though. Hook him.
Longhorns, baby.
North Carolina can hire a good offensive coordinator. Ooh. If North Carolina can hire a good defensive coordinator, things will be all right because they have the talent. Multiple 4 stars at every skill position, a dynamite freshman cornerback, and a lights out defensive line that we've seen this year. But it all doesn't matter if Mack Brown tries to run things like it's the 90s. Because what worked then is not going to work now.
No.
Maybe it's going to work for Herm Edwards. Maybe they're just looking at that and being like, hey, maybe if Herm Edwards can work for Arizona State, this guy that got us 11 wins in 1997 can work for us in 2018. I don't know. It's not going to last long. This isn't a long-term solution. This is a stopgap to firing someone that has been hampered with so many injuries to this team in the last couple of years. And it's just frustrating because I expect so much better out of the University of North Carolina, at least in the football program. They've made so many good hires in the past. Fedora was a good hire. They obviously made a good hire for Mack Brown, but I thought they turned a corner and they thought we'd gotten away from the dark days. But the dark days are here again, and it makes me really sad to say, but the sun will shine on us again one day, brother. And the North Carolina Tar Heels, whether they're being led by Mack Brown or they're being led by whoever the offensive coordinator is in 5 years, whenever Mack Brown retires again and leaves UNC.
Goes back to maybe, his comfy spot.
Maybe. This will turn out well. But right now I'm angry. If you can't
go ahead,
already
be angry.
Tell.
Go off.
Because I do not want this man that has already spurned UNC in the past to be leading them again. We're welcoming back with open arms, and that's what I hate the most.
Not treating it like a obvious like a stopgap case of desperation.
So no, they're treating it like it's the greatest thing ever.
Like it was the plan Mack this Brown's whole time.
I remember
coming home.
I remember laughing about that possibility when it was thrown around.
Oh yeah,
on Saturday.
I was there for that.
And now it's actually a thing.
I mean, he does have the national championship with Vince Young in Texas, baby.
13 years ago now.
He's got it. That was a call. Remember that call? He's got it.
I highly doubt he'll be able to do the same thing with Cade Fortin and Jace Reuter.
We should get that a soundbite. The he's got it soundbite. I know we're not like a Texas school.
So, any last thoughts as we wrap up things for today?
Just one more.
What's up, Chris?
Remember when I was yelling about the Royals possibly hiring Mike Matheny to be like a... possibly being like a assistant specialist or something. I forgot what the exact title
something
was.
Something like that, yeah.
Special counsel.
Special counsel, anyways. That's what they did! They hired Mike Matheny for that. And you know, do you know what's really like haunting? What's really like getting into my soul right now? That they hired him to do the exact same job that Ned Yost did before he became the manager of the Royals.
And Ned Yost is expected to retire after this season. So.
Expected. Nothing is certain, but something that could happen. And it just makes me think about how, who said, I think it was Brett Stober who was talking about how you could like put in like every single pitcher into like a randomly generated assortment. And then and that could handle its pitching situation better than Mike Matheny did with the St. Louis Cardinals. So yeah, darn you, Royals organization. How dare you?
As a Cardinals, who has lived in St. Louis and seen Mike Matheny for years, have fun.
Seriously. All right, last thing I want to say before we wrap up on another fine Wednesday afternoon. Sports social media. Stay up to date with the latest sports news. Thanks for turning off my mic, Chris. Stay up to date with the latest sports news on and off campus by following at KCOU Sports on Twitter and Instagram. And, of course, at KCOU Salutes on Twitter. KCOU Sports social media provides schedules for upcoming broadcasts, Sports Saturday information, links to the latest columns from our talented staff, and, of course, so much more. Once again, that's at KCOU Sports and at KCOU Salute on Twitter and Instagram for the latest happenings on the student voice of the Missouri Tigers.
I got one thing to mention before we take it away.
Yes, Chris.
I'm trying to get... Okay, so I'm tired of paying money to get our episodes up on SoundCloud. So what I'm going to do is try to get our episodes up on Spotify.
All right.
For free. So be on the lookout for that. I will be dropping the link to wherever you can find it on Spotify in the next few days, I think, once I get everything sorted out. So yeah, be on the lookout for that, guys. Salute Your Sports episodes on Spotify.
Of course, that's on at KCOU Salute on Twitter. Make sure you follow that and pay attention to Chris's wonderful tweets. Thank you, Wilson, for filling in for James. I don't know if he'll be back next week. I hope he is. Thank you, Chris, of course, for running the board expertly, just like James would with one mistake per show. And thank you to all the listeners for tuning in for another fantastic edition of Salute Your Sports. I am Matthew Terry for the two sitting next to me. I'm signing off. Stay safe, folks.